sound plug, cats are sedated. Welcome, everybody, friends, folks, foes, and fellow pirate mateys to yet another weekly edition of World Pirate Radio News. It's show segment number 245. I am, of course, your host, as always, the Robin Hood's Chief Communications Officer, Chaffee Ryder. WPRPN.com is the website we will direct your attention to. Sign up is free. All you simply need is username, password, and email from there. Everything should be pretty much straightforward. If you do hit any snags along the way, do not hesitate in getting back to us via our main email contact address. That, of course, as always, being simply pirate1radio@protonmail.com. We'll take whatever steps are necessary to help smooth things over. Be sure as well to take a look at the show description end of things. We have running in conjunction with this week's live stream. We have a great Teespring presence at the moment. Coffee mugs and t-shirts, among other items, up for grabs. Patreon, of course, and all sorts of other great items, ways of going about becoming active within this virtual independent underground pirate network we presently have underway. And really, it's, you know, WPRPN, the People's Pirate Network. So, Minds.com, Twitter, BitChute, Odyssey, all important links to take note of and keep in mind. There are various digital rewards systems that a number of those platforms have in place, Minds, Odyssey, BitChute, and DLive. So when it comes to content producers of the independent sort, not only ourselves, of course, but anyone whose work you very much appreciate, by all means, consider reaching out to them, giving them a bit of a boost. We, in fact, have one of those gentlemen here waiting in the wings, as a matter of fact, Vinny Eastwood, of all people. Haven't managed to connect with him for a while now, but he has reached out to us, and we're happy to re-engage in the conversation. So we'll be speaking to him here momentarily, but just to finalize our introductory comments, liking, commenting, sharing, of course, remembering to hit the subscription and notification buttons. That is really critical when it comes to independent underground live streaming endeavors such as ourselves, working to provide us with a little more of a boost, bit more in the way of exposure. And remembering, of course, as always, to pass word along to your friends, family, and coworkers. So there we go. Now, we've got a host of others as well, too, here, just looking at things as far as the roundtable format is concerned. We've got Bob Dub, once again, out of New Zealand. Chris, out of Atlanta, and via the burbs of Vancouver, Coquitlam, BC, Yvonne Malfon. But before we get to them, I think actually, you know, what we could do, as a matter of fact, is just briefly hear from each of you before we hand things over to Vinny, because we'd really like to hear from him as far as the latest update regarding where things stand with these ongoing legal proceedings. He and I believe his co-defendant, Billy TK, have been facing. So why don't we just kind of open the mic up to Bob Dub out of New Zealand, see how she's doing. I don't believe I see any presence of Sir Reginald at the moment. Where does he happen to be? Is he out mousing again?
Well, it's been warm, Jaffy, and so he's off on his adventures. So he's eating three times a day at the moment, which is really unusual for him. And then in between, I don't know if he's visiting or what, but whatever he's doing, it's making him really hungry. So he's not around a lot. It's a mystery to me. I'm going to have to get a GPS and track him down and see where what he's up to.
Well, I tell you, if he doesn't show up anytime soon, we can't provide him with any credit as far as helping out in the co-hosting commentary capacity.
Yes, I know. He's very slack. I'm sorry about that. I will have a word with him.
All righty then. To cut back on the catnip or something like that, maybe.
That's it.
Kind of leading him to become a little more spaced out and lackadaisical. So, Chris out of Atlanta. Hey, man, wasn't sure if you were going to be available this go around, but it's great that we do have you on board. How are things looking?
Looking up. Thanks for having me. As always, an honor. Especially to be in the presence of Mr. Eastwood, such a man, a legend in the waking people up community, whatever you want to call it. But thanks for all you've done, and glad to be in your presence.
Well, this isn't Clint, you know. I mean, I'm not sure what are you going on. What do you mean exactly?
Vinny Eastwood, man, he's been doing a lot for the community.
Oh, Vinny, I thought we had somebody else here in the house this go-around, so.
He's been championing the voice of freedom for long, long time before lots of people, so.
That's right. Yeah, indeed. It is absolutely so. We're quite happy about having this opportunity. Yvonne, via Coquitlam, British Columbia, how goest thou? How's music? How's the entertainment
business?
I'm doing
really well, Jaffy. Thanks for having me.
Hollywood North?
Here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of strikes going on right now in the movie industry around Vancouver. So, like, everybody's on strike, directors, the writers. They say it might not be settled until the new year. And it's a lot of avarice and greed involved, I guess. Everybody wants a big piece of that big Hollywood North pie.
Yeah, and, won't be settled. Maybe a case of won't be settled, not just until New Year, but until AI is completely obliterated, you know, in yeah. This post-metamodern, I suppose, really Luddite fashion, however that happens to play out. But yeah, that does pose
a bit
a real
of news. Well, as most of you already know, I'm a counselor and I'm available. Harpo.ca, first 30 minutes are free. Counseling, life coaching, there's hope. Contact me if we have a sliding scale as well. Two things. First, a friend of mine, a saunaholic from the pool, was telling me about this new, this product. It's called humic acid. Humic acid. Thank you, Bad Boy Grant and Mick Jagger. Mm-hmm. Humic. H-U-M-I-C acid. And it helps plants, like your tomatoes and vegetables get bigger and bigger yields and huge fruit. And veggies, incredible stuff. We put it on your garden, in your garden. And I've been trying it. It works like a charm.
Mm.
And I want to look into that. The second thing is a good book I mentioned in the chat a while back. It's called Ukrainian Scorpions by Chief Ron Dickerson. He's the chief of Native Canadians all across Canada. And he spent 20 years in Ukraine doing business, and they ripped them off, just all the corruption. And they ripped them off like $20 million worth of land. Like the courts, the cops, the mafia, the judges, and everybody. They're all in cahoots.
They stole
it's a really good book.
They stole from him traditional native land based out of Canada?
No, in Ukraine.
Oh, I see.
He was working, and he owned like $20 million worth of land.
Oh.
And they just just guided him. Like, just
big chief, huh? Big chief. One, you know, there's chiefs don't have the greatest reputation in
this is before he was chief. This is when he was younger.
Okay.
And he came back since then. It's a really good book.
Yeah.
Called Ukrainian Scorpions. It just talks about the corruption.
We hear a lot about that, don't we? So going back just briefly, this humic acid, what are the guaranteed results? Once again, helping. Well, I mean, if they're helping agricultural products, God only knows what else, grow bigger. What impact has been?
I put it on my olive tree in the backyard, and it's only a year and a half old. I'm getting olives growing,
mm-hmm.
and they're coming along well. The tree's like 8 feet tall now.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Well, that's good to hear.
And,
what I'm really wondering, I suppose, just to cut to the chase here, is if I was to rub some of that on my ball sack, what do you think that potentially could lead to?
I don't know. What do you think?
Itch.
I mean, that's cold. Itch. That's called cutting to the chafe.
I was just, making, chaffing. Well, you're not tomatoes.
Chaffing with Jaffy.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. But my tomatoes are growing like really quickly. It's incredible. It's something to check out. Humic acid.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Another thing.
Yeah, how's everyone tonight?
Good,
go ahead,
good.
Chris.
I was just going to mention another thing that's good for that is Epsom salt, which is, I can't remember which kind of salt, but it's also good for fruit and other types of vegetation.
Oh, well, how about that? So, very good. Yeah. All righty then. Well, that about does it, I suppose. Just a quick sort of round the table introduction. We've got
One last thing, Jeff, if I may.
I think you've had enough of a say there, Yvonne. It's time to kind of pull his mic.
One last thing, I'll be quick. I was talking to a Native Canadian, and they talked about how in Holland now, they're not destroying their dandelions. They're letting them grow.
Yeah.
On their lawns. I don't know if you heard about that. And somehow the dandelions are helped regulate where all the vitamins and nutrients go
mm-hmm.
in the grass. And there's a whole new way of seeing dandelions. They're actually good for you.
Oh, of course.
Probably good for the bee population, too.
Dandelion wine.
Yeah, of course.
Has everybody had a chance to try dandelion wine?
I mean, this is, of course, the origin of the phrase, everything is just dandy.
Mm-hmm. Could be. Yeah. And that's a problem. Just, with, this business of spraying things that appear on the surface, or at least many of us are led to believe are just useless weeds. There were summer jobs, as an example, back in British Columbia, I remember. People being hired, students typically, to go out and spray the crap out of things such as dandelions that they had been directed by the government to eradicate. Here in South Korea, you know, of all the criticisms one could launch, there's also, there are some good things you can say as well. And that has got to do with the ladies, the mothers, the grandmothers, and aunts and so forth, who, in, you know, from one generation to the next, one female generation to the next, typically, that they work on becoming very knowledgeable and educated when it comes to the properties of what many would otherwise regard simply as these useless weeds. As truth of the matter, as things turn out, have a whole heck of a lot more to offer us in the way of wholesomeness, nutrition, and goodness than what the powers that be, unfortunately, largely at the behest, I suppose, of the Rockefeller and the initiative that they launched all those years ago. Vinny would know a lot more about this, of course, the American Medical Association and so forth, I believe, got their hands all over that, along with the Club of Rome. Well, you know, surprise, surprise, good old Rockefellers. And which is where we get, that's where the whole, this COVID 1984 nonsense originated. That's where the whole bogus, carbon obsession, total just demonization of carbon has come from, as far as I understand. The famous phrase was that, yeah, that'll fit the bill. That's exactly what we're looking for. Maurice Strong, among others, going back, I guess, to the late 70s, early 80s. So, but welcome back, Vinny. Maybe can you flesh in a little more as far as the... And we are, by the way, live streaming across multiple platforms here via our end of things. I think you're picking the feed up as well on your end in a simulcast-type fashion, so we much appreciate that. But Twitter, Twitch, DLive, Facebook and YouTube, so we've got to kind of
mind, you know, our P's and Q's.
There you go. Exactly.
Did you start live streaming on Minds yet, Jeffy?
We're working on getting around to that. Yes, we're very open. Rumble as well too. We would love to, but
Yeah, Minds just opened up live streaming. If you didn't know,
I thought
I'd mention that.
Thank you. Good to hear. Mr. Eastwood, anything more on the Rockefeller crime syndicate? Front group, apparently, for the Rothschilds is one version of
people. Well, I mean, there's a group of people analysis out there who just say, you know, if you can't give your enemy a name, then you'll never be able to defeat them. And these people say the name is Jew, right? And I'm not sure if I totally buy into that kind of explanation for it. You know, it's just Jews or whatever. But there's not no evidence to support that claim is the thing. So anyway, on to Rockefeller and the question of how they took over the medical industry. Once upon a time, there was a guy called John D. Rockefeller. And before that, his Primarch, Big Bill Rockefeller, who was a traveling snake oil salesman, literally. He would travel into small towns in the United States, say that these cures that he was selling did all sorts of amazing things. He would pay off people in the crowd to say, yeah, it worked for me. And then he would recruit other snake oil salesmen so he could scam huge sections of a state at the same time and then skip across the border and share the loot. This guy got into oil. And when you get into oil, you realize there's a lot of toxicity involved. So he got into medicine and then put all the toxic products into all the medicines that we know and enjoy today. And he hired a guy named Flexner to do a report called the Flexner Report that analyzed every single medical practice in the United States, homeopathy, naturopathy, or whatever the opathy, and to make them all appear very bad, and that only the medical institutions that taught one pill for every ill that was all exclusively made with rocker oil byproducts would kill you and destroy you were marked as very good. And so they became dominant, and then they started to corrupt the actual medical field itself by offering large amounts of money for all the latest medical equipment to the medical boards in exchange for getting one of their representatives on them. And then year after year, they'd say, you need all this new equipment. You want to be ahead of the curve, don't you? And we just need one more person on your board. And before you knew it, every single medical board in the United States, bar a few, had nothing but Rockefeller oil men on the boards, making them sell their poison. And we're still in that system today. This happened a century ago.
Yeah, and it only seems to be getting worse with this tendency towards monopolization and concentration of interests and, you know, powers. The power elite, of course, just doing their thing, running the show. So, anyone else have anything more to add on that front before we hand it back to Vinny and hear exactly all the latest that he can share with us on the legal front? Because it does sound quite intriguing indeed.
This is definitely stuff that's being exposed, and it goes so much deeper, and it's wild how, like, how many different angles that it started. So just the snake oil salesman angle is part of it, but it goes even before the snake oil salesman. They had to get trained by the lawyers and stuff like that, how to communicate and swindle you through the words that we're using. So it's, man, it's so hard to get out of this mindfuck, but a lot of us are, and the more of us that do, the easier it gets. So, anyway.
Well, that's just fine and dandy. Thank you. So.
And really interesting talk by Dr. Shiva, invited by Neil Young to expose fake science and Monsanto and GMOs, but a 10-minute long talk just saying how you can't get hold of the scientific information to do any literature reviews. So, you know, it's
good one. Yeah. Nice catch. Did you pick up on that from off of the talking points that we provided for this week?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, I did. I listened to it earlier. Yeah. Very interesting.
As goofy as Neil can be sometimes, I don't agree with him with his whole stance on the kill shots, that this is one occasion where I'm down with what they're trying to convey, of course, and get across to the public. Believe it or not, fingers crossed, we might actually have Dr. Shiva drop by and join us here at some point, hopefully in the not too distant future. We'll just have to play that one by ear, though. It was suggested that we reach out to him by a mutual friend. We've done that, so we're just in the process of waiting to hear back from him. But anyone else before we hand things over to back to Vinny and all the latest on the legal front? We're chomping at the bit here. I think the term is champing at the bit. And there's a lot of folks out there who are not really up to speed or clear on what's taking place via his end of the world when it comes to these various really quite bizarre legal, attempted legal renderings. Speaking of swindles and the hoodwinking and the like. So Newcastle, Australia, yes. Alan, Chips Baker and Leathermaker, welcome.
Actually, I'm in Canberra at the moment. I've come down to talk to the guys at the Freedom Front Canberra. And, when you rang before, I was just in the middle of an interview with one of the guys down here sort of thing, so I sort of couldn't get away, shall we say. But, well, I'm here now. How you going? Hello, folks. G'day, Vinny, Rob Dub, and everyone else. And down to you too, Jaffy. G'day. So, yeah, it's been, I've been down here for a couple of days, and I'll be here for a couple more days, just filming what's happening down here. And the last show that I just did just now explains it all. This guy, Mark, he was a school teacher a couple of years ago and had a great little life, and then all of a sudden the world changed, as we all know. And he chronicles some of that I just alluded to. So if you're interested, have a look at Amos777 on YouTube. Okay, there's me plug. But yeah, so how's things going with everyone else?
We've already pretty much traversed that angle and area of things, but it's great to have this update, you know, coming to us via your part of the world, Canberra, Australia, once again. Well, so
it's great. Gonna have to do it pretty soon, because very shortly they're bringing in some new legislation that's going to make all this misinformation. He's going to put us all in jail.
Well, and you know what? Misinformation. It's really quite bizarre, because all that is people who, when you're putting statements forward, you're mistaken.
I thought
disinformation.
I thought misinformation was a beauty contest for journalists.
That's one way of looking at it, I suppose.
Yeah. Sorry, I missed that one. No, disinformation then, yeah, but, and really the only ones doing the wrong thing, the wrong information is generally, those ones that are in power, shall we say. But we, the little fellas, well, we'll see you all in the gulag. Hopefully not, but, okay. Next.
Yeah, that reminds me of a thing when I got out of jail. I was in there for like 28 hours, you know, no daylight. And I like came out, I felt like I'd been a prisoner in a Russian gulag, you know. Came out and I saw my wife and my daughter, and I went to her, "Baby, you haven't aged a day. You're still as beautiful and supple as the day the state took my freedom. And Alina, my little mamushka, look how you've grown." You know, anyway, sorry, go ahead.
That darkness brought out the Dracula in you. That's what it kind of sounds like, along with, Russian or something very Eastern European. Absolutely. Hey, what I was going to just kind of bounce off of you, I suppose, Vinny, and others, is this, speaking of, as Alan brought up, isn't it interesting too? Criminal legislation. You got to love it, you know. Criminal legislators, criminal lawyers, criminal legislation, criminal codes. Oh, if for just the irony. But and on top of it all now, the WHO treaty, you know, hashtag stop the treaty, World Health Organization, treaty. Why is there, which is actually, you know, what heads of state have signed on to it to this point is anybody's guess. It's not like this is the top news item as far as the mainstream media is concerned, of course, but within just a few short months, it stands to be ratified, five, not even 6 months now, from what I understand. So, but with the treaty itself, like, doesn't that assume that there's some sort of war underway? You know, and then that, to me, that it's clearly indicates that we're in the middle of a war, folks, and just more reason for us to remain determined in the way that we're understanding things to be operating here, the war on humanity with respect to this asymmetrical type approach that the power elite are taking with implementing their plans that they had laid out and ready to go a long, long time ago. basically. So with the full spectrum dominance approach to implementing all of their various nefarious policies, whether it's the air, the water, the food, the education system, the media, the drugs that now
we enjoy so much.
Oh yeah, yeah, just yeah, freely. And and let's not forget Nuremberg Code too. You know, the right to informed medical consent. I shared that Jimmy Dore link with you just before going live here, Vinny. I think maybe a few others might have seen it as we dropped it into the WPRPN Skype green room as well. So, but the, you know, that is something we encourage everyone to take a look at if they have the opportunity or interest. Jimmy Dore on the, and this is the Australian angle as well too. So Alan, you especially will be wanting to check that one out if you haven't already.
Well, yes, I've been a bit busy, but I certainly will look into it. But yeah, there's yeah, this treaty thing. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I know it's the one you're talking about. All over the world, so all the World Health Organization, they've got it in the bag, then, haven't they? That one you're talking about?
That would be it. Yes, correct. World Health Organization, the WHO treaty, which enables them then from the way that we're being. The way that they're kind of explaining Strongs. Things is that all nations' sovereignties will be extinguished, all citizens' rights and freedoms completely nullified, and the UN, the Blue Helmets, will have total free reign to enter into any country they choose whatsoever, and dictate to you exactly how it is that you're expected to respond and act in accordance with you know, it's a world medical dictatorship, basically, is one way of putting things, obviously. So either you fall into line with their demands at that level when they've ramped it up and unpacked things to that degree, or, well, I guess there'll be consequences, and then they'll have more further coercive measures that they'll be more than happy to implement. So Vinny, you're far more articulate, of course, and knowledgeable, I'm sure, with respect to the, I mean, for starters, why, once again, does a treaty not assume the presence and the existence of a treaty, assume that there is a state of warfare that is at you could say at play, but at work or in place, essentially? We're in the middle of a war.
Yes.
Yeah, it's, I mean, pretty self-evident, doesn't it? So, but nobody's asking this question. There's so many things, simple questions that people are just not asking. And I'm mostly, you know, this is with the mainstream media where I'm just every day endlessly shaking my head and looking at things, you know, kind of sizing things up and asking, because we're endlessly sold one phony, false, ridiculous narrative after the next, after, you know, one after the other, essentially, whether it's the whole phony climate change nonsense. Now, this will probably get us in trouble with YouTube. How dare you question the 2020 election results, thought criminals. You know, that, and, you know, the kill shots, virtually everything that they try to sell us is a load of nonsense, really. It's completely, it's absurd and ridiculous. Yet at the same time, we're expected to, you know, parrot unquestioningly, just no critical thinking whatsoever, and how dare you even, you know, there's a prescribed box here that we have prepared for you as far as your the consciousness that we've captured, and these are the parameters of thought and you know, that discussion. Anything outside of that, das ist verboten. So, Vinny, your court case, though, shifting gears a little bit here, we really want to hear from you on this. Speaking of all things absurd and ridiculous, you are being charged formally for what exactly? They're trying to lock you up, have you in jail for 3 months on the grounds of...
I stood within two meters. That's like, I think, 12 feet. Is it? Was that 6 feet? Yeah, I stood within 6 feet of another human being.
That's it.
Yeah, basically, that's what the law amounts to. That was illegal at the time of lockdown, when you're in an outside gathering in the hot sun, where that kills all viruses and no transmissions ever been made outdoors, allegedly. But
so, within 6 feet of another human being, you weren't wearing a mask, and everybody died. Is that right?
Nobody died. Nobody was hurt. No private property was hurt. Damaged.
They died.
It was a peaceful 45-minute protest, and we were held for 28 hours, and then we were banned for 6 weeks from accessing the internet, leaving the house, contacting each other for over a year. And we've been in court 9 times, like Ferris Bueller, 9 times, and we have accrued tens of thousands of dollars worth of legal bills. I think Billy's up to about 97,000, so he's got me beat on that. I've got 6,000 left that I have to pay, and I haven't been in debt for a while. I mean, I recently got out of debt, and now I'm back in it, and more debt than I've actually ever had in my life, come to think of it. But anyway, this thing that we're riding on here is currently the appeal process. So we've been charged, we've been convicted, we've gone to the appeals court, and now we are waiting for the judgment, which should come about the 10th of October, possibly sooner if it happens within the next week. If not, then we're going to be in for a little bit of a long wait. The 14th of October, 4 days later, is election day here in New Zealand. So, you know, it's interesting times to be had here. There's a bunch of new freedom parties that have come out, and a bunch of new freedom broadcasters that have come out since the day democracy died. That's the documentary that I made about myself and Billy TK's arrest. People can watch that on thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news, and just click on the blue day democracy died banner. You can see what actually happened on the day, and some of the things that happened subsequently. Now, what's really on the line here, if we were to be so, you know, arrogant as to think that we stood for some reason, is that New Zealanders are granted rights not by government. They're granted by the creator, whatever form that creator takes. Laws made by that creative force can't be outdone by man's laws, in my subjective moral opinion, and also backed up by the laws of the universe, so it just happens to be true, so that's why it's got that extra oomph. You know, you shouldn't have to obey anybody who is using coercion, and all government uses coercion, all government, and that is the meaning of government, is governe, meaning the mind, or to control, and mente, meaning the mind. Government literally is mind control. I mean, we're talking about, like, what are we up against here at the end of the thing? You know, you've heard of Christianity, and you've heard of Satanism. Well, government is also a religion, you know? Satanists, they're called. This belief structure, this religious ideology, has been responsible for more genocide than any other factor in the 20th century. All right, you were more likely to be killed by your own democratically elected government than by any other factor, okay, in the 20th century. And if we're not careful, the same will be true of the 21st century, except this time we might not have the same weapons that we did back then. Now we've got weapons that might be able to finish the job, right? If government is going to end humanity, the freedom of the free human race. That's what I'm fighting for. That's what I think is worthy of survival. Not the human race just in and of itself, because there's no point in surviving if you're not free. And the New Zealand government has taken everything from me, has taken everything from the people of my country. We just had a poll come out from Massey University, one of the most prestigious universities in the country, where they surveyed New Zealand workers, people who are in the New Zealand workforce. And approximately 36% of them are either leaving New Zealand to get the hell out of here or are thinking about it. 36% of the workforce. 12,000 people left in July alone. This is a country of 5 million people. Okay? That represents a huge, huge exodus from this nation that has been despoiled, defiled, raped, pillaged, looted, lied to, and manipulated for far too long. And people see through it. And they realize that it's so brutal and so nasty in its scale and its scope and the lizard-like sheen of its scales that blind even those who try to look for the truth, that they just decide to escape it. And only those without the resources to escape remain here. It's like living on a prisoner's island hidden in the summer for a million years, as Icehouse would say it. But yes, I'm not feeling terribly good today, nor have I been feeling good for the last couple of years that I've been going through court. I'm particularly upset, particularly depressed, particularly angry, and particularly despondent and cynical about the situation that we're currently in this country, and simultaneously about the attempts by the people in this country who do believe in freedom to do anything to stop it.
Well spoken, as is, you know, typically the case, hearing from you, Vinny. So thank you. Your judge. Now, from what I understand, the last time you appeared in court, the environment was, the tone, the mood was, it could have been a whole lot worse. Let's put it that way. There were occasions where there may have been cracks starting to appear, shall we say, in the prosecutional angle to think, just the nonsensical waste of time, effort, energy, resources. Just, you think that the legal system, you notice I don't say justice, but the legal system, we may have some justice when the rendering is and the results come about with your case, but you think there'd be a lot more serious crimes that the legal system would be wanting to prioritize via New Zealand and elsewhere.
Oh, there is there is no greater crime in New Zealand than inspiring people to stand up for truth, love, and freedom. There is no greater crime. You know, I think I'm, Billy TK and I were pretty much the first, but there's subsequently been many who've suffered similar or worse I believe, Hannah Spira and her partner Calvin Alt from Counterspin Media here in New Zealand, probably the largest alternative platform in New Zealand by a significant margin. They've done very well and they worked very hard. And I've known them both for years before they started their platform. And they were arrested, had all of their studio and equipment and hard drives and everything confiscated. They won't give it back. Basically crippled their operation at the same time as charging them with 14 years and 28 years respectively for sharing a link on Telegram on a day when it wasn't illegal to share that link, and it was made illegal the next day, but they didn't tell them about it until about 6 months later when they raided their house with armed police and pinned them to the ground, and then took Hannah to the police station where five police officers held her down and forcibly took her blood. We have Liz Gunn, who's now starting a political party, NZ Loyal, is assaulted by police just when she was at the airport filming people. They nearly ripped her thumb off. They threw her cameraman, my mate John O'Clark, to the ground and smashed his $15,000 New Zealand dollar camera. And they've refused to give the SD cards back or respond to any attempts at disclosure. And the long list of people in this country who have A, stood up for freedom, B, been crushed, and C, nearly lost everything, is very, very long indeed, and it grows ever larger as time goes on. And I'm reminded of the 2020 election when Billy TK, my co-accused, was running for the election, and he was voted third most preferred prime minister in a leading poll, and he had a larger social media following than the prime minister, and yet he only got 20,000 votes, even though he had a donor list of 70,000 donors. And they basically looted the party, that donors list went missing, and a new freedom outlet called Voices for Freedom started up and suddenly had an entire network across the entire country full of people supporting their organization. Wonder how that happened. They've got the ability to, anybody who pops up and makes any kind of waves, infiltrate, destabilize, divide and conquer, destroy, demonize. These are the protocols of our enemies, and they have been doing this for a long, long time, and they've become exceedingly efficient at it. And currently there are like 8 branches of freedom person or party that are currently attempting to contest this current election. And what's difficult for me personally is just, I feel very grouchy. I feel like I've become curmudgeonly, in a way. You know, like a grumpy old man sort of thing. Because I've been doing this for 15 years, which is more than 10 years longer than anybody else who's currently fighting for freedom in the public eye has been doing. And I am very bitter about it, and they're confused. And they ask me, Vinny, why are you so bitter about it? And I say, it's because of experience. Seeing it happen, seeing people's hopes be risen up and then dashed. It's like the participation in the political process is a weaponized form of hope destruction, whereby you invest so much, get so little in return, and regardless of the result that you seem to get at the end of the day, it seems to just slide the country further and further into the gurgling maw of scumbaggery that besets her.
Roberta is based out of New Zealand, of course, and I'm not sure exactly for how many years she has called the country home, but I think it's been quite a few. Truth be told, we'd like to hear from her in just a few moments. But before we do, Vinny, what are your thoughts on the judge that you have who is going to be rendering this verdict.
I've been told by my lawyer and a few other people that we could have gotten a lot worse judges.
Right.
And I've been told from insider information that our particular judge doesn't actually particularly like criminal law because he's a former real estate attorney or something like that. And allegedly, he doesn't like police very much either, you know?
I'm willing to bet then this is not a Freemasonic judge we're talking about.
There are no guarantees. Unless they're wearing a pin or something like that, you can't really eliminate anything. But he did say that this was more paperwork, more submissions and things like that because of this legal precedent. So you're sending a peaceful protester who hurt nobody, damaged no property, to months in prison. Okay, that's never been done before in New Zealand history. Now, that being said, the judge said that he'd received more paperwork than any other case that he'd seen in his tenure at the High Court currently, and it was more paperwork than the last 3 months of cases that he'd been working on. So that's why it's going to take him a significant time to give his decision, because let's have a look at what's actually really on the line here. Okay, the credibility of the New Zealand government and their lockdown measures is basically on the line here. Either A1, we get found guilty and we get punished very severely, and that sends a big shock and a chill wave throughout the entire country. Oh my goodness, this country has gone to hell, and thousands of New Zealanders will start fleeing this country, our best, our brightest, our smartest, and stuff like that. So, you know, I may potentially benefit the rest of the world by giving you the best New Zealanders that we got. The other possibility is that we may get a more lenient sentence, and what that means is we could have potentially bought New Zealanders their rights back for a period of time, giving us more time, right? So the only thing you can never get back is your attention and your time, right? And so if we can, through 2 years of abject suffering, bankruptcy, deplatforming, and essentially making nearly 40 years of life mean zippo, if that means that my countrymen, what few of them actually believe in freedom are left, have those freedoms secured for any amount of time longer, then of course the sacrifice is worth it. And I wouldn't put anybody else in my position and tell them that the sacrifice is worth it. I put myself in this position specifically because of an old saying that if you want to expose a fascist, you have to make them act like it.
Okay. Do you know where that old saying happens to come from? I've never heard that. It does make some sense, however. The origins of the expression, though?
I'm afraid not. Awesome. You know,
okay.
It's kind of like the origin of the knock knock joke. You know, like
yeah,
Jeffy.
Why the chicken cross the road?
Knock knock.
Who's there?
Raneep.
Raneep who? Raneep poo. Oh, gross.
I got you. I got you something, to say Raneep poo on here.
Yeah, Raneep poo. I had to do it. So, hey, speaking of which, we don't want to get too much into family affairs, but yeah, I imagine they have been changing a few diapers over the past couple of years from the sounds of things. So,
yeah.
But let's see. You know, Roberta, we haven't heard much from you, and you are a Kiwi yourself, of course, and I... When did you first arrive in New Zealand? It's been a number of years, has it not? And how closely have you been following Vinny's case, along with, of course, I believe his co-defendant, Billy TK?
Well, first of all, thank you, Jeffy. And Vinny, it's really an honor to hear your story straight from your mouth. I have been following it from a distance. intermittently. It's been going on for a long time, and you are going through hell, and you're very brave. I'm not surprised you're feeling grumpy. But a lot of people really are, as you say, benefiting from you. And yeah, that must be cold comfort for you, but you know, good on you.
Hold the line, Vinny.
Just one point on that. I got called by a old talk radio show host of mine who's in a bit of a distress, and he goes, "Why the hell are we doing this, Vinny?" And I said, "Well, because basically there's probably one person out there who would change their life because of the show that you did today. All right. It's not because the things that you do are going to benefit you really in any potential way. It's because of these people who you may never know, may never meet or whatever, listen to one show of yours at one particular time in their life and change something important about how they live their life in a direction towards freedom. And it's just, that's why you keep doing shows, because you keep having that influence. You may never see any evidence of it, but it is there, even if you don't get to benefit from it yourself personally." But anyway, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I got to New Zealand on the 2nd of May in 2002. So I've been here for 21 years. I'm a citizen. I am the leader, very recently, of a party, a political party called Not a Party. It's not a registered party, it's just a party. And what we do is we aim to represent the 40% of the country who don't vote. And that is a terrible, terrible, terrible thing in New Zealand, to suggest that not voting is an actual option for governance and that there is an alternative. You are seen as the real scum of the earth if you suggest that somebody, if there is an alternative way to the sacred New Zealand way of doing it. So it's a very interesting time that we live in. There is an amazing melting pot of ideas, and the suppression of freedom of thought is an extraordinary thing for me as somebody who grew up and lived 40 years of my life in a capitalist country, to come to a socialist country that is so highly feminized and witness this toxic and destructive behavior is actually a very shocking and frightening even thing. So yeah, that's kind of my little bit, Jaffy.
Thank you very much. I think we'll be getting back to you here eventually, of course, with more questions for you regarding New Zealand and other matters as well. But Vinny, just to be clear, the judge's rendering is, I think you mentioned October, maybe the first week, somewhere thereabouts, and then there's an
October
election.
10th. October 10th.
And then the 14th is the election, you said, is that right?
Correct.
Interesting. Well, have any prospect other than you know, Billy TK, have any other prospective prime ministerial or general political candidates, I guess, what are they known as, MPs typically in New Zealand, all part of the Commonwealth, similar to the Canadian system?
Well, I mean,
have they come out in support or rather have any been pressed on the matters surrounding your case or not?
No.
There's no attention whatsoever. No media, other than not even alternative media.
No.
Have approached. Well, son of a bitch, eh? Well, let's see. Maybe.
I mean,
Roberta,
I've had DK Spiracy.
Should we bother? Would that work in your benefit, do you think, or not?
I mean, it's not entirely silent out there. You know, a few people have, like, for example, Sue and Kiwi and Karina Ruiz from Truth Bombs New Zealand came to our first court case there. We've had help from Counterspin Media, and this is all much more recent kind of thing. In the first year or so of it, it was pretty lonely in terms of trying to get support out of the New Zealand Truth movement. But in terms of, you know, established media and alternative media in New Zealand, there's about maybe 26 outlets, and I think maybe one to two of them have given some sort of mention about us, and I think that's about it. It's been pretty brutal, the New Zealand truth movement scene here, which, you know, for me, without me, there would be no start. Like, the start of the New Zealand truth movement would have started, like, maybe in 2019 after the Christchurch mosque massacre, when people started questioning and started their YouTube channels and things of that nature, and all their guns got taken and whatnot. That's when the truth movement of New Zealand started really exploding. But from the period of 2007 to 2019, there was me. And I think I gained 10 YouTube subscribers per video during that time, and at the time I got deplatformed in 2019, I had 65,000 subscribers, so that gives you an idea of how much videos and content that I put up there. There's approximately 20,000 hours of content, representing between 2 and 300,000 hours of editing, interviewing, organizing, and so on and so forth, to create the largest online archive of interviews with activists and international thinkers of every stripe and political colour that New Zealand had ever seen. And then it all got deleted and it's gone.
Well, and just to be clear, I think we've covered this in the past. It's been a while, though, and it's helpful for our listeners' sake. You did back that content up elsewhere, did you not?
Oh, of course. And at the time that we uploaded them, when we re-upload them, because nobody's looking for them, because they're not new, interviews that would have maybe 10 or 15,000 views on the old YouTube channel now have zero views.
Yeah. Well, we're getting hammered here ourselves, so it's you're not alone on that front, unfortunately, and that really in itself, regarding all the work that all of us have been doing, including yourself, going back all those years, because we did I'm trying to come up with another word other than follow. It's just so cultish. But anyways, we did follow your work and a lot of, you know, the shows that you put out there. We were very much, and I'm speaking mostly from a personal standpoint, of course, although, you know, we shared a lot of your links, like, hey, check out this guy. You know, this is a lot of quality material that he's putting out. We engaged what you had been sharing with the world for many quite a few years before we just, you know, the way that the cosmic tumblers fell into place and stars aligned, we were drawn into this sphere of activity ourselves, you know, the whole live streaming gig. So I'm not sure where to go from here. We've got Alan there who's waiting patiently, and Chris, of course, we haven't heard from over the last number of minutes. Gentlemen, do you have any further comments or questions that you would like to share with us? Bounce off of Vinny. Now's your chance. He's not going to be here with us forever, of course. So,
man, I'm a lightweight, but I don't really know where I have place to interject, like what you should be doing or what any. But I mean, wow. There's so much of what everybody, not only you've been saying it for the longest time, Vinny, but everybody else that's echoing basically the same things. What's it going to take for us to say that's enough and stop trying to use that system which enslaved us to try to unenslave us? I don't think it's going to work. So I just see we need to create parallel systems that are alternative to what we have. And like Rojava in Syria and I can't say the word. In Mexico, there's a Michoacan or something like that that have basically kicked out the local government and said, we're going to run this, and they're doing it in their way, which I haven't been inside those places to see, but I'm hoping more places like that start popping up.
Well, could I interject something there to back you up on that? Yeah, that little town for a couple of years outlawed the Mexican police, outlawed politicians. If police officers tried to enter the town, their sheriffs that they elected would kick them out. If politicians came in, if they were carrying pamphlets or something like that, they would threaten them with arrest. And instead of governing through the traditional system of forming some kind of bureaucracy and paying people to do it, everybody ran their town voluntarily. By every week, every street would have a fire, and everybody in that street was required to attend and talk about the problems that the street was having, regardless of whether or not it was personal or not. And every month, the representative from that street would then go and have a big fire in the center of town with all the other representatives from all the other streets, and they'd work through their issues. Crime dropped to zero. Home invasions, rapes, murders, assaults, and thefts, and so on and so forth. Zero. Until 3 years later, when the government rolled in with armored vehicles and took back the town. You understand? You can create your parallel systems, but you can't stop the New World Order by running away from them, by running things more efficiently. It's like in Jaws. You are either going to kill this animal or you're going to cut off its food supply. And unfortunately, cutting off its food supply don't work unless it's cut off everywhere simultaneously. So it is going to come to a fight at some point, and anybody who thinks that they can get it out to it, you know, they're living off the land, they've got their off-grid technology and stuff like that, they've got drones with Hellfire missiles, bro, okay? And they have plenty of empty apartments in these ghost cities they're building for you and your slave children to be in, fully vaccinated, fully surveilled, for all time. So the time is now, ostensibly, to get off this sort of bandwagon of the independence of ourselves and these parallel societies is the whole solution. No, that's basically step one in a greater goal. Yeah.
Right.
But it's poignant. Definitely, and it's very important. And a lot, and too few people are talking about these parallel societies. So, yeah.
Yes, can I quickly jump in? I'd like to quickly jump in and say that it can only work if it's backed by a huge number of people. Like you say, Vinny, I want to just agree with you. These little experiments are interesting, but we only have power if we are united. And that is where we're being stopped. We cannot unite. We cannot even talk.
Yeah.
Truly.
I mean, well, you get into discussion.
Deplatformed, hugely. Go ahead, Vinny.
I mean, you get into discussion with some people online who claim to be fighting for the truth and stuff like that. And the old saying comes to mind, excuse me, the adults are talking.
Yes,
can I jump in for a minute? Just like say, I was watching a movie last night. They haven't seen for a while. It was a movie, 1984. Seems more relevant today than it ever has before. I had a bit of spare time last night, and I just about go to sleep. I think that movie kept me awake for a bit longer. And the thing is, as you're right, Roberta, we all need to stand up together. But how positive are we going to happen? Is that going to happen? Maybe not. But as one of Vinny's little things is about planting a tree that you will never sit under its shade. It's not for us, folks. It's for our children and their children. And hopefully, they won't be living in 1984.
Well, I mean, well, I was born in the year 1984, and my great hope is that when I die, when I die of old age, and I've got a few marbles rolling around and stuff like that, that's about the time when the monster scenario of 1984 will be defeated.
What we've been up against is it's incremental. Fabian socialism is part of it. And the Freemasonic angle is something that needs to be acknowledged. There's many tentacles to the Technokraken, as we refer to it here down in Skullport Harbor. You know, communists, Bolshevism.
I spy the Technokraken, Captain.
Well, and that's something that, that we'd like to see take off in a more viral way. Hashtag Technokraken. It makes pretty, you know, obvious sense to myself. And I think of, you know, a few of the people that we have on board here and those that listen to the shows that we put out, but you know, it's technological trappings. It's just for your convenience. It's all convenience. I mean, hey, just, you know, speaking with some of the Koreans that I work with here, and that's where I mean, as you often like to say here, just we God grant me the serenity. Oh, Jesus Christ. God, you know, serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I think you know that one, Vinny. And it's something that I really do take to heart among, you know, numerous other, you know, quotes and nuggets of wisdom that have come our way throughout the years, as we find ourselves here standing on the shoulders of giants, philosophical and otherwise, of course, those along the likes of what, where Vinny finds himself engaged out there on the front lines. But just going back to this whole business of working, acknowledging and understanding your sphere of influence, what you can affect, what you can impact, the people that we meet each day. Well, we're walking down the street. They're the people that you meet, the people that you meet each day. These are the people in your neighborhood, Sesame Street, you know. So think and say what you like about Sesame Street, but they had a point, you know, that it's this business of community. And so I make a real effort
They were very open on that show. They were very open on that show. And hence the magic word is open sesame. But anyway, continue, please.
That's right. But, you know, working, it's complicated and challenging, as I think most can hopefully appreciate and recognize, living as a foreigner, as a minority in an otherwise largely homogenous society. That's one of the things the Koreans have going for them. It keeps them together in the cohesive sense that the homogenized nature to what makes them the people and society that they are. But that's one of the ways. It's difficult, you know, speaking of trying to wake people up. Or for me, it's more just a question of presenting information and really emphasizing that word presenting, because you can, it's a verb. Let's not forget, you know, presenting, it's an adverb and it's also a noun. So presently I'm presenting this present to you. And, so it's the adverb, the verb and the noun. And then, of course, let's not forget there, you know, the presence of some spirit or God only knows what overcame us and swept into the room, or what have you. So, but spelt a little differently, obviously. But I mean, there's nothing greater, of course, than as Alex Jones talks about, you know, this business of the InfoWars. He's right on the mark there, obviously. And that's what we're up against now. These Muppets, going back to Sesame Street, in power, that, you know, God only knows what they get up to in their spare time. With I don't even want to go there right now. You know, the adrenochrome harvesting and, you know, cult, you know, hooded, you know, shadowy cult catacomb gatherings, or
lowering children into 6 foot.
Stay in the club.
Yeah, lowering children into 6 foot deep graves, reading musty tomes that they say are the book of life and your name isn't in it while you're wearing a ram's head. You know, the good stuff. The very wholesome business of this is how you raise your future politicians.
Right. Yeah.
that'll work.
Yeah. Well, and that's
how do we create somebody who's just a real dick all the time? I don't know. Have you considered satanic rituals? Like, I think we could do something here.
That'll work. Yeah.
So,
I'm going to have to disappear. My battery's about to run out, and thank you, Jaffy, for calling me. Nice to talk to you both, Vinny, Roberta, and sorry, the other guy.
Roberta, Chris, I'm Roberta, Atlanta.
Good to meet Chris. You, Alan.
Yeah.
Yep, glad to meet you too, mate. Hey, mate. Yeah. My final words are: be good to each other, folks.
Indeed. Yeah. That's great advice, of course. We do need to practice what we preach, lead by example. And there's enough suffering, chaos, carnage, misery, and so forth in the world already. Why contribute anything further to it? So, Vinny, I'm not sure. Alan, having just made his way to the door, we'd like to cut to commercial break here momentarily. But is there anything further that you'd like to share with the wider listening world that perhaps you feel you've not had the chance to this point before we cut you loose? And you're free to stay on, of course, but just letting you know that if there's anything that has come up that you really would like to drive home, try to emphasize, get out to the wider listening world.
Let's see. I think a lot of people are feeling a lot of pressure right now in a lot of ways. You know, you can have your mind affected by stress, your body too. And if you endure it long enough, your very soul starts to feel like it's being planed away, like something in a wood shop that's taking shape into something even more horrible than a regular piece of wood. And it's like you have a surrounding area and it's filled with all these people who don't get the madness and the horror of the design, and you're trying to tell them that what's planned and what is being done is going to look at the very least aesthetically displeasing, and they haven't got the faculty, the eyeballs, to be able to see what they don't want to see. They haven't got the vision. And as somebody who has either information or experience or vision, you will begin to feel very alone out there. You will begin to feel very rejected, very unappreciated for the most part. And generally what happens to us, myself included, is you retreat inwards and you generally don't go out unless it's to associate with somebody that you know is already on the level and knows what's going on, because you recognize that those are the only people that are worth your time. Imagine somebody came up to you and told you that they want you to sell lies. And you asked them, what's the result of selling lies? What would I get for it? And they say, mate, you're going to be rich. You're going to have different women every night and a hot missus who lets you get away with it. Mean car, mean pad, all those wonderful, famous, awesome people that you see on the TV and in the movies. They'll be your friends. You would go around to their houses and do lines of coke with them, mate. And you're like, really? That's what I get if I sell lies? I'm like, yeah. Well, what about you, Vinny? What do you reckon I should sell? And I go, I reckon you should sell the truth, mate. And you go, the truth? What do I get if I sell the truth, Vinny? And I'll be like, well, you're probably going to lose all your friends. And probably the place that where you're living. And you might lose the respect of your family as well. And probably your job, your money, and you'll kind of become a bit of a social pariah. And they're like, you know, Vinny, you're not really selling it to us. So, I mean, I'm like, yeah, I know, it's the truth, mate. I can't really dress it up for you. This is the choice you make, and these are the rewards you get. Okay. And then you might ask, what are the unintended consequences of selling lies? And the guy'd tell you, well, all those friends, those rich, powerful people who you think are your friends, they're not really your friends. And if you've got a real problem or something like that and you're trying to talk to them about it, they'll just change the subject. They won't really care. And if something happens to you, they won't even bother visiting you, you know. And that's just it. All that money that you've got, all that respect you got, all that power, it can disappear in a second because you said the wrong thing or did something you were told not to do, or you didn't do something you were told to do. And your entire life is empty. And it doesn't matter how many drugs you take, how many women you shag, or how many cars you buy, or how many holidays you go on, you'll still feel completely and utterly empty selling lies. Well, what are the unintended consequences of telling the truth then? Well, though you lose your friends, you gain new ones. And the other friends that you had that pass you by and no longer in your circles weren't really your friends anyway. And the ones that you've got will be there for you and will back you up when you're in trouble. When you need them, they'll be there. And you'll be able to eke out a living, just enough to live on. And whenever that you don't have enough to live on, something new will come in that allows you to keep going and doing what you know is right and doing what you know you must do, not just for yourself, but for those people around you that you love and hold dear. That's the unintended consequence of telling the truth, is you can get a good night's sleep every night knowing that you haven't hurt anybody. You haven't damaged anybody's property, and all you did is what was right and true. That's what I'd like to leave people with.
On that note, thank you so much once again, Vinny. We're going to give a big shout out here to a few people, names you might recognize or not. Joey Boomer in the house via DLive. Much appreciated, Joey. Of course, Amos Dale, seeing him logged into Twitch. We had Joshua Allen Huckle over on Facebook. I'm assuming he's still connected through the platform. Martin Taylor out of the UK has got a few comments here. Share with folks momentarily. Zane Ivey saying Cluthu swims left. That's believe an H.P. Lovecraft reference. DK Spiracy. All right. What we're reading here in the chat into things is Vinny's bit cute. I'm not sure. Is he hitting on you? Or what exactly? Vinny's, maybe he meant to say bit shoot. Or Vinny's a bit, Vinny's really cute, actually, if you think about it.
Yeah, I got, but I was in a cafe one time, and this chick who was like doing a psychology degree, she goes to me, "You know what your problem is?" And I go, "Acute narcissism." And she goes, "Why do you say that?" And I go, "Well, because I'm a narcissist, and I'm really cute."
Just too damn adorable. So, yeah, something to that effect. Well, yeah, I really, you know, have no idea what you have planned for the rest of your day. We have another approximate, not quite 90 minutes or so left here before we wrap things up, typically. So you're welcome to stay on board, Vinny, or hang out behind the scenes. It's completely up to you, of course, but we do have to cut away to commercial break here in just a few moments. VinnyEastwood.com, I believe, is the website.
No. That's down at the moment. I mean, let me just double check that. VinnyEastwood.com. Is it still down? Yeah. TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that update. And we did share the DuckDuckGo search result link using just your name via, you know, the peanut gallery. So hopefully that finds itself to be of some use to a few people. In the meantime, we're going to pledge another $50 in support of your case. You know, we're not ourselves here exactly rolling in the whole hell of a lot of dough. PayPal funds drying up a little more than we'd like to see them at the moment. So one of the reasons, you know, we do encourage people to engage us on that front, as well as elsewhere, of course. But in the meantime, yeah, we'd like to pledge $50 in support of, you know, the legal plight and then case that you're currently having to face and contend with. Is that at all possible, or are, you know, are you
$50 makes a difference.
You accept donations?
Oh, help? Of course. Or, if they come, I accept them. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, you hit a bit of a rough patch there. I think it was a little more than a year or so ago, and we did something similar. So I know we can afford to cover you in that to that extent and degree. But, well, in addition to that, we'd like to challenge all of our listeners to follow suit, to consider doing the same at least. And, you know, like Vinny said, it's thousands of dollars that he's finding himself here in the hole. His co-defendant, Billy TK, even more so. Although, one of the questions I did have in mind was, are you planning on, is there any way that you can counter-sue on the grounds of the unlawful manner that they, you know, I guess the police themselves and then the prosecution has been so adamant in trying to essentially set an example, you know, make you this kind of litmus test, really extreme, of course, and repugnant as it is. Counter suing is it? I mean, in Canada we got something similar going on, interestingly, where the government, the state, is pushing back, saying, "Oh no, you can't sue the government, even though it's unconstitutional, unlawful. You know, there's just no way in hell that you can do that," is what they're telling us, but. You know, nothing ventured, nothing gained, I suppose. Any thoughts, Vinny?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there.
Okay.
So
now's not the time.
Can we rephrase the question for a real quick response here?
Well, what I'm really wondering here, maybe I'm not being clear enough. You're basically you've had to compromise and invest a great deal, thousands of dollars, in defending yourself. Is there not any way of you recovering these losses in addition to suing for damages?
Well, we've got plans in the works, and when these people receive the ends that we're going to provide them on that basis, they will be very surprised and very shocked, and they're just going to wonder, who the hell are you guys? And I'm going to very quietly respond, just think of me as someone who doesn't like you very much.
All right. I'm not sure if that's a line that you've come up with on your own or...
No, that's from Tango and Cash.
Tango and Cash?
No kidding, bro. Jack Palance is great. I thought it was awesome.
Oh, jeez.
Just that line. Okay. The rest of the movie is just awful.
Oh my God. A man's got to know his limitations. Is that what Eastwood said? Dirty Harry, something.
Most likely. I've been watching a lot of Clint Eastwood movies lately in preparation for jail, you know. I don't know.
Oh. Yeah, well, let's not even go there right now.
Well,
so.
Actually, one point on that. You know, every Clint Eastwood movie has two things, basically. All right? Number one, it's got Clint Eastwood playing some kind of guy who's a bit grouchy, who turns out to be a guy with a heart of gold at the end. And number two, at the end, the characters walk off and the camera just gets left there rolling while the credits roll over it, right? There's the only two things I've actually discerned from watching, I think, nearly 20 Clint Eastwood films in the past few months. You know, it's quite extraordinary that it's that obvious. You just predict it outright. And that's what art really is, I think, at the end of the day. It's your own personal expression for something that you're not really gotten over yet, and you're trying to tell people the exact same thing. It's the same reason why in every Spielberg movie there's some kind of kid who has a difficult relationship with a father or father figure. Because he did. And now I think my artwork is about trying to teach everybody about the real horror and nastiness of life, whilst at the same time making sure that they don't lose their sense of humor about it. Because as I've always said, in a world so mad, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts.
Indeed. There's a few other quaint, I'm not sure if that's the best way of putting it exactly, but catchphrases that you have that run in conjunction with your show. And as a matter of fact, we did have, well, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, of course, in conjunction with thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. But yeah, and your group as well, too, Vinny and the Vendettas. You know, we'd like to showcase, send us three of your top songs, assuming that you do have a minds.com presence, which I believe you do. But if that's in place, you have...
Can you upload audio to Minds?
I believe you can, but we don't need Minds.
Just audio only. It's like a video file, but it doesn't have to be a video.
But we don't, just send us what you have and we can take care of it from there. You can do what you want with Minds, work on that end of things, but all we need are your files themselves. Even we can just rip them if you have them online in some location. We can just rip them from there and that's fine.
Okay, no worries, man. Well, I'm just going to pop it into the chat here, the page for the Vinny and the Vendettas, and the first three songs that you see on there, Luftwaffe Aloft, Everybody Wants to Be Mexican, and Jar Jar Jacinda. download them and go for your life, mate. You might be able to have some fun there, mate.
Jaja Jacinda on her way out the door. Yeah, I think that's, you know, something that probably will find its way into the playlist in just a couple of weeks here, as a matter of fact.
Cha-cha, Jacinda, New Zealand's Joseph Mengele. She wants to stick that jab in your arm. Cha-cha, Jacinda, balls bigger than her teeth. It's such a shame we let it go on. Yeah, it's like that.
I've actually seen it and I've heard it a couple of times. So thank you. It's a great... I guess, you know, satire, satirical, cross-between satire and parody. Take your pick, but yeah. So thank you.
It's a satire parody. It's a Saturday.
Something like that. Yeah. Pattersat, maybe, or Satterpat.
Take your pick. Or the Quitsart Satteract. Yeah.
That'll work as well, too, I suppose, won't it? So... But, yeah, we're going to queue up the sponsors that we have here, reddragonherbsandteas.net, along with the Canisense Cannabis Collective. Thank you once again, Vinny. You are welcome to hang out here in the wings or whatever.
I may not be able to. I'm going to have to go check with the Rebecca, and hopefully I'm allowed. But there's quite likely baby bathing that need to be done and food that need to be prepared and all of those other chores that women used to do, but now man has to do.
Give her our regards as well. And when she does have some free time, we have invited her onto the show. She did say that she would make an appearance at some point. I guess it sounds like, you know, she's... Both of you are busy with a little bit of
well, who
parenting.
Knows? Maybe I'll come off and she'll come on. You know? Because I was telling her today, you know, Ralphie from KiwiRadio.nz came around today and hung out for a little bit and helped her set up a bunch of stuff in her little office so that she can do some broadcasting and whatnot, because she's been sitting around going crazy, just going, I've got so much knowledge, I want to contribute. You know how we all are before we start doing our radio show. We're really frustrated that we haven't started it yet. She's in that stage, and it's quite cute, really.
And, very good. Have the two of you done any work together online? I haven't seen much yet to this point.
Not much. I mean... we did one video on her BitChute channel, Rebecca Wilson NZ, I think, about the police and cult indoctrination as is seen in the Wellington police riot kind of protest sort of thing. And she co-hosted a few episodes with me as well.
All right. So maybe from the sounds of things, potentially more of... you know, something similar to come on that front. Time will tell. But thank you once again, Vinny, and best of luck with the sack of pooey. That's of course the Chinese. Just the Chinese. I've learned a little bit of Asian Oriental since living here in South Korea. But the Koreans sometimes use that term to refer to diapers. As do the Chinese, very well known, Sakapui. Yeah.
It sounds like an enchanting district.
Oh, indeed it is. But there is enchantment to Asia, as you may well know, given the fact that, I'm not sure if you've traveled here much or not, but your relative location vicinity, obviously, via New Zealand. But in the meantime... We do have to cut away to break once again, and we are going to get around to it, I believe, here in just the next few moments or so. Ask everyone who is on board via Skype to mute out so that you don't bleed out into
Just before, it's good meeting you there, Vinny, and awesome talking with you. Hope we get to see you around on Mines.
Add me on Mines, because I got nobody on Mines that friends or something like that. I added all these new social media accounts and I've been posting on them like crazy, but apparently you need to actually use those social media accounts and talk with people and add people as friends and things like that before it becomes in any way worth your frickin' time even bothering to post on them.
Yeah,
I don't have the time to do that. You know?
Especially on Mines, because they have this cross-posting feature from Twitter, and they just have a bunch of people that have a big following on Twitter, and they just post their stuff on Twitter, and then it goes straight to Mines, but they don't ever talk to anybody on Mines. So it's like, why am I even subscribed to you?
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
yeah.
That sounds
if
like...
If you don't right. interact, then...
We do it the other way
ourselves. Phantom.
We share our content typically before we go live. We get the show links out to Twitter, so rather than from Twitter to back to Mines, it's Mines to Twitter. But you know, to each their own, obviously. So, yeah. But yeah, once again, just ask that everyone mute out as we queue up these promotional spots, courtesy of RedDragonHerbs.net and the Canisense Cannabis Collective via Red Dragon Herbs. Any order of $25 or more, you will be able to immediately qualify for a 10% discount. All you simply have to do is let Ryan know one of two things, either simply Pirate Radio or Pirate Code. Over on Canisense Cannabis Collective, via their end of things, 5813 is our referral code. So definitely keep that in mind. Take a look at their inventory and become a part of things. They have a lot of great items available that hopefully will manage to suit and match all of your optimal health needs. We'll be back in just a couple minutes here, folks.
Medical cannabis is now legal by telemedicine. Get the medicine.